Last month, three different clients told me they were going headless. Two of them couldn't tell me why. One pointed at a slow load time. One said the team wanted to use React. The third had read about headless commerce and was sure it applied. None of them had done the test that matters. Headless WordPress is the right answer to about one problem. In five, it gets applied to. The other four, slow site, brand inconsistency, hard to train team, mediocre content workflow, get worse when you split the front and the back. Because now there are two systems to maintain and a developer dependency where editors used to ship without one.
You want to start with the contrarian read?
Yeah, because most teams I sit with don't realize it's contrarian.
Okay, here's what I'll push on. The teams who go headless aren't picking it from a menu of equal options. Their developers want React or Next on their resume. Their procurement wants a story that sounds modern. There's organizational gravity, and the gravity is one direction.
Right, and the gravity wins, regardless of whether the technical case is real.
Most of the time, yeah.
Christopher, before we go further, what's the test that matters?
One sentence, what's the bottleneck on this site, and where does it live? If the answer is the site is slow, that's not an answer, it's a symptom. The honest version sounds like, our category templates have 12 server-side queries that can't be cached because each user sees a different feed. That's a bottleneck on the front end. That's a candidate for headless.
And if the answer is we have 30 plugins and the database is hot,
then the bottleneck is in the application layer. Headless doesn't fix it. Headless moves it behind a wall.
Can I cut in here?
Please, Owen.
I want to bring up the part of this that gets ignored until launch week.
Go ahead.
Schema, canonical tags, meta descriptions, sitemaps, redirects. Every Yoast and Rank math assumption breaks the moment the WordPress front end stops rendering the page. None of those plugins render schema and headless without explicit additional work. Most teams discover this 2 weeks before launch, when somebody runs the rich results test on the staging URL and watches half the markup disappear.
2 weeks before launch.
2 weeks, and by then, nobody has the bandwidth to rebuild the structured data layer, so the launch ships with broken schema and the rankings move accordingly.
I've watched that one, twice.
There's a related editorial problem. The preview button.
Walter, take that one.
In a standard WordPress site, the preview button shows the editor the post as it will render to a reader. That's the basic mental model. Save, preview, save, publish.
In a headless site, the preview lives in a separate front-end environment that has to be wired up deliberately. Until it's done, and it almost always gets deferred to a quote-unquote phase two that takes 6 months, the editors are working blind.
And the editorial team finds out about this when?
Usually launch week, sometimes the week after.
Okay, so we're stacking up the failure modes. Schema breaks, preview breaks. Custom Gutenberg blocks render differently in the front-end framework than they do in the back-end. WooCommerce doesn't work. Page builders don't work. Anything that injects scripts via WP Hi-Head has to be rebuilt.
And the team's calendar didn't have any of that in it when they signed.
There's the version of this I'd write down as the rule.
Go on.
If the team can't name the front-end framework they're committing to before the meeting ends, they're not ready for headless. Not naming the framework means the conversation is being led by the symptom, not by the architecture. And a symptom-led headless decision is the most expensive kind of decision you can make in WordPress in 2026.
Yeah.
What does it cost, in your experience?
A bad headless decision costs about 2 years and the back half of an editorial team's morale. The front end gets faster, the content team gets slower, and content teams beat front end speed for revenue impact every time.
Every time.
Every time. So here are the three headless flavors that actually dominate in 2026, if anyone's still thinking about it after that. Faust.js plus Next.js, maintained by WP Engine, opinionated. Fastest path from we have WordPress to we have headless. Trade-off, you're tied to the next render model and to WP Engine's hosting recommendations. WP GraphQL plus Astro or 11D, static site generation against the GraphQL schema, lower runtime cost, harder to set up dynamic personalization, best for content-driven sites with a steady publishing cadence. WP GraphQL plus a bespoke React or Vue or Svelte front end. Maximum flexibility, maximum maintenance, requires a dedicated front-end team to keep alive.
And if someone is still pitching Frontity, the pitch is out of date.
Frontity is deprecated, has been since 2022. If it's in the proposal didn't get a 2026 refresh. There's a four-question test before any headless project signs. What is the specific bottleneck in one sentence? Which framework are we committing to and who owns it after launch? What is the editorial workflow on day one of launch? And what does the schema and canonical strategy look like for the new front end? If all four answers are crisp, headless is probably right for the site. If they're not, you're going to ship a faster front end and a slower content team. And the slower content team is the one that matters for the business. If you're in a headless conversation right now, here's the only question I'd ask you to take away. What is your bottleneck in one sentence? If you can't answer that without hedging, the right next step isn't headless. It's the audit we talked about last episode. Thanks for spending the time with us. If you're sitting in a headless conversation this week, the four-question test is the conversation worth having before the contract gets signed. The good vendors welcome it. This is Sites I've Never Seen. Next time, a different shape. 15 years of WordCamp talks and the spine I didn't know I'd been holding. Glad you were here.